Season 6, Episode 4, Brothers Keepers. It opens up with Russell, Diane Russell, waking up in the apartment she shares with her husband, Bobby Simone. And Bobby looks like he's in the shower. There's a very weird moment when she asks if it's Bobby, and he goes, "No, it's Ramon," which almost was like a passive-aggressive, she shouted Ramon in bed once or something.
Yeah, or, like, I was trying to think, was there a character named Ramon that they all knew?
Did she bone a Ramon? Was there a Ramon bone at some point? Basically, she's like, "Oh, well, I'm just worried about you," and he keeps saying, "I'm doing as well as can be expected," in, like, a robotic monotone.
Because that's what the doctors keep telling him, right?
Yeah, we get a hint that that's what the doctors keep saying. She asks Bobby if she can come in the shower again. She did that earlier in this season, where she just rolls up in the shower when the dude's trying to get his shower on. And he says, "No, there's just some things I gotta do on my own." And she says, "Okay," and he goes back to showering on his own, and then she wakes up because it was a dream. If you couldn't tell by the insane lighting in the scene.
And the and like the ominous music, too.
Yeah, real weird dreamy music. Weird dreamscapey music. And that is the beginning of the episode. There's not much to discuss about it. My theory on what it is, I mean, is a big spoiler for what's going on in the beginning of this season, so I don't really want to go into it right now. But this is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, go through every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue, and this is the theme song to NYPD Blue. When we come back from the break, actually, I feel like I should preface, this is kind of a dark episode. This episode is some high percentage dark chocolate, really. When it opens up, the desk sergeant of the 15th is telling all of the uniform cops that they're just straight up, "Hey, we're looking for a heart. If you see anybody who's about to die and it wasn't of natural causes and they weren't shot in the chest, we got a cop who needs a heart." And then he kind of callously says, "Anything else to Fancy, who is present at the desk sergeant announcing this?" And he's like, "Anything else?" And he goes, "No, that'll be it." And then the desk sergeant's like, "Yeah, you know, our heart is with Simone later." And I was like, "Okay, well, you're kind of a piece of shit because Simone's badass." But
oh, I don't know about that. I thought the guy cared.
I watched the episode twice. I felt like he kind of gave off this, like, "Yeah, we care about Simone. That's great. We got work to do," kind of situation. It's later hinted that they did this at every single police precinct. I don't know.
Like, in all of Manhattan, basically, right?
Yeah, and according to Fancy, because he talked to the chief of D's. But the thing I'm wondering, what we know about the police, you know, and their tactics and ways, is it really a good idea to be telling them, "Hey, we really need a heart to save one of our own," given the things that we've seen them do for their own?
Yeah, and then they basically tell them, like, "If you're gonna get us a heart, make sure the guy's not shot in the chest."
Which is such an interesting detail.
Yeah, but it's like kind of, it's one of those, like, I thought that was kind of random.
Well, I think it's because if he gets shot in the chest, he could have damaged his heart. And I was like, yeah, but the heart is only one section of the chest.
Well, that one, that's what I was thinking, but two, that I thought, I looked at it as they were just, for today, they were saying if you have to shoot anybody, like, shoot anywhere but the chest today.
If you got a guy who you just got a good beat on, make sure it's not the chest.
Yeah. If you got somebody that you just got to pump a few into, let's aim a little higher or lower today.
And now that we've made that joke, it's going to make this part even more funny. I doubt anybody who is actually a cop listens to our show. But... But if they did, I would love to know on Twitter or Instagram, do they do this? Where they're just like, "Hey, you know what? We got a cop. He needs some organs. We need a liver. We need a lung.
They have to. I feel like they'd have to if they put it in the show, you know?"
Like, and what are those meetings like? It's like, "Oh, man, well, if we got a guy who's got two working kidneys, we gotta see if he makes it through.
Gotta figure it out."
The next scene, Sipowicz, Martinez, and Medavoy head up to an apartment, and the uniform officer outside is really shooken up. He's shook, as the kids say. So is the super, because there's an old lady in there who is hacked to pieces.
Yeah, it's so bad that the guy had to take his hat off.
Which I guess is, he just says, it's a thing. You take your hat off. Sipowicz tells him to put his hat back on.
That's interesting, because when I first graduated high school and went to community college, I took one, like, firefighter course, mm-hmm. like, firefighter science course, and I was thinking about becoming a firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first things, when we walked into class, and the class was being taught by an ex-firefighter, was anyone who had a hat on had to take it off. And part of, like he said, the firefighter code or rule is like, if you are indoors, you don't wear your hat.
Interesting.
And so I found that interesting compared to the police, who they make them wear their hat, you know? It seems like in this that they have to wear their hat inside or whatever.
Well, cops and firefighters, they're always at odds. They're the cats and dogs of emergency services, really.
And then EMTs are like birds, you know? Who cares?
They're like big old birds, like D.
So then are firefighters the dogs of the situation and police officers are cats?
Yeah, because Dalmatians, you know, they're all...
I also thought more of, like, people, you've never heard people complain about firefighters. But everyone loves firefighters, but not everyone is a police officer supporter. Kind of like everyone loves dogs, but not everyone is cool with cats.
Yeah, I mean, it adds up. It really adds up when you think about it. Also, did you decide not to become a firefighter because they told you, by the way, California is just going to perpetually be on fire for the foreseeable future?
Oh, no. It was about maybe 3 weeks into the class, started talking about, like, you know, when there's a fire, blah, 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 you don't really have time. You just got to run into it and do what you got to do. And then for a second, I was like, do I want to die in a fire? No, not really. And then that was it. Like, there wasn't a whole lot going on in that internal conversation with it. I thought about being a police officer when I was in high school. I was like, oh, maybe being a cop or like SWAT or something, or like highway patrol would be it's a good job. You don't have to go to college for it if you don't want to. But then I thought about it and I was like, do I want to spend my whole life arresting people of color and or getting shot at by anybody? No, not really. Do I love everyone in the human race enough to want to protect them? No, not really. So maybe it's a good idea for me not to be a police officer.
Well, and also you
like,
want to
do I care that the youths on the corner are smoking pot? Not really, dude. Who gives a shit? Maybe I shouldn't be a police officer. Anyways, let's get back to it, because I have a lot of issues with this episode, and I hope you know what issues I have, because this is a recurring issue that I've had with this love of mine. It's an issue that I'm okay with in the marriage, but every time it comes up, I'm gonna voice my opinion on it.
Okay, we're okay. So, they go into the apartment after Sipowicz tells the uniform officer to put his hat on, and there's an old lady in there with her head caved in with what looks like a bat, maybe, and her feet and hands are cut off. Sipowicz, Martinez, and Medavoy, you know, they're doing their, like son of a bitch, and this is crazy, this is ridiculous. Sipowicz says, I want to meet the son of the bitch who did this.
Yeah, Sipowicz is very disturbed by it.
Well, he's also...
Now it's because of everything that's going on with Bobby.
Yeah, it's everything coming to a head at the same time. That's the real issue. Is
everything with Bobby.
Yeah, with Bobby in the hospital. Everything is everything is worse because of it. He goes to talk to the super, and the super is like, oh, I can't believe I did this. He's only 2 weeks in on the job. And he's like, I can't believe I took this job. And there's a miscommunication about the street noise. He's like, they've been digging up the street this whole time. And he's like, they're not doing any construction. And he's like, no, the street noise. And he's like, okay, whatever. He's like, does she have a next of kin card? He's like, yeah. He's like, do you want to give it to me?
Like, yeah, I didn't understand that whole little combo. I was a little confused, but that's okay. Like, I didn't understand the point of the street noise conversation.
I think the point was the guy didn't understand how to articulate that the street is really noisy. And he said they're tearing up the street, which Sipowicz assumes means there's construction on the street, which there wasn't. And then, because of the miscommunication, he just gets more and more pissed.
Yeah, Sipowicz comes in angry.
Oh yeah, he's hot.
I mean, I get your friend is sick. At the same time, like, aren't you supposed to be a professional?
You would think, especially if, you know, you're carrying around a gun.
It's like, I feel like NYPD Blue was made, right, back in, like, the late 90s into the 2000s and shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some, like, circle of white producers were like, this will be a great TV show, it'll be raw, it'll be edgy, but then what it'll also do is it'll show police officers as human beings who have emotions, who have bad days, blah, 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 this'll be great. And when I watch it, I go, I don't want human beings that have bad days and let their emotions step into the way when they're a police officer. I want robots as police officers. I want them to be able to just, like, live by the order of the law, you know. Oh, maybe not robots, but I want people who are able to, like, do their job, be, like, emotionally collected, but at the same time be able to tell the difference and have some sort of nuance, and then not, you know, shoot people. But this show seems to, like, try to, like, just normalize cops, like, having feelings and stuff, which is great because they are human beings, but at the same time it shows me that, like, yeah, maybe a human who is, like, over-emotional and not rational shouldn't be in charge of people with guns. Like, I don't know. Maybe not. Just my opinion.
Well, it doesn't... I think the reason it's so weird is because... the show also tries its best to put them in a positive light in most situations. So, like...
Yeah!
So, like, if it was a show where... I think The Shield does this a little bit better than this... because I've never seen The Shield. But apparently that dude's, like, a straight-up asshole. So sometimes he's just straight-up in the wrong a lot.
I tried to watch it. I watched, like, the first couple episodes of it. And it was, like, it was an okay show. I just couldn't get into it, but yeah, from what the little bit I saw of that guy, what's his name, Chiklis or whatever?
Yeah, Michael Chiklis.
He is a straight up asshole. Like, he is, like, really corrupt. Everyone in that department ends up being, like, somewhat corrupt and doing the wrong thing.
But it was
praised as the great show, so we're basically, like, kind of, so we're damned if we do it here, because we basically told people, like, we've given people, like, numerous ways to look at cops through TV. We're like, oh, they're either, like, these super emotional people who, like, are really awesome and, like, we love and care for them, or they're these, like, really gross people who, like, take advantage of the system, do what they can to get ahead in life, blah, blah, blah. But in the end, the ratings have shown that people love it.
And
people just love cops, so it's awesome.
And if you're CBS, like, they're the ultimate good and they never do anything wrong. And they always get their van. Just to finish this scene out really quick. The super says to Sipowicz, should I get a hatchet? And he says, yeah, put it under your pillow. They get a next of kin who owns an electronic shop, and they have some forwarded mail to that address. And so they got some information on who they could talk to. The next scene, they're running for fancy. Sipowicz calls it something out of the Manson family. Limbs cut off and stuff like that. They mention two sons, a Stanley Struhl and an Arnold Struhl. Arnold's the older one who owns the electronic shop. Stanley is a multiple caller for possession, I guess. They just call him a junkie in the rundown. Sipowicz takes a moment to make fun of the super again, saying he didn't know Dick, and besides being a custodian, he has his head up his ass.
Yeah, he's really mean towards this super. It's kind of unnecessary.
Well, I would describe him as just, like, a loaded Uzi going off at anything. Like it just seems like the trigger's held down, and if anybody gets in his way, he's gonna snap at him.
Kirk, can you be a little bit more careful with your analogies today?
Oh, yeah, I just realized that.
So I mean, it's not funny, but like some shit's been going down with guns lately. Just putting that out there.
Some shit's been going down with guns lately. That's putting it mildly. let me rephrase. Sipowicz is basically just like a very testy dog, and if anybody gets near it, he's gonna try and bite at them. It doesn't really matter what they say, because there's a snap at Fancy in the middle of this that I thought was hilarious. That like was completely out of nowhere. But so he's snapping at everybody. While they're talking to Fancy gets a call, and everybody jumps because everybody's on heart watch. Everybody's looking for a heart.
They're all on edge.
The call was just about, I believe it's Arthur Struhl, who's now downstairs. Sipowicz asked if everybody made the announcement, and Fancy said he was told so. And then Sipowicz does that, like, passive-aggressive. He's like, well, you know, a guy needs a heart, and, you know, you feel like it's good to check, you know, just...
First grade detective, you know, yeah, just dying over there needs a heart, and, you know, I mean, but yeah, if you think you think that everyone got the message, I think that's good enough for everyone then, I guess.
Look,
yeah, right.
Look, if you don't want to call and make sure that they said it, it's fine. Just Bobby dies. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Just Bobby dies.
That's yeah, cool. Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you don't want to call him, that's cool. Like, we can talk about it at his funeral, you know?
we could have that little chat over some water over, over
if you don't want to call him, that's cool. I'll just remind you about this at his wake. Or I'll just be like, hey, remember that time you could have saved Bobby and you didn't? Oh, that's funny.
You know what? I'll just give a call over to Russell, say I'm sorry. We didn't feel necessary to check to make sure they said everything to every department. They cut to this Arthur Struhl who's talking to Medavoy and Martinez, and Sipowicz walks up. And Arthur is pissed by moment one because they're taking away from his business.
Yeah, he comes in real hot.
He is
real quick.
Hot as balls. He's also a semi-famous face. I thought I recognized him. Nothing he's known for is really anything that I watched, but I looked through it. He's in a ton of voice work. Like, he's done a bunch of different villains for Batman in Batman animated stuff.
Cool.
He's been on tons of cartoons. So he's been around a while doing voice work. And I could have swore I've seen his face somewhere. Maybe in some other random TV show. But he's just super pissed. He's like, is that all you wanted to ask me how I'm doing? And he's like, no, let's talk in here. He's like, let's talk somewhere. I gotta get back to work. They bring him into the room and they're like, hey, your mom's dead. And someone killed her. And he turns the chair around like a cool youth pastor. And,
like a cool youth pastor ready to talk to you about Jesus?
Ready to tell you what's up. And
I just wanted to let you know where your soul's going, guys.
Hey, let's talk about masturbation. It's wrong.
Let's talk about what's going on. There's a battle going on for your soul.
You guys, like,
Jesus loves you.
Oh my god, Arthur Struhl. And we have less than 40 minutes. Okay.
Oh, we haven't even opened up the can of worms.
I know, that's why.
Of why I'm upset.
He says your mother's dead, and he turns the chair around, he says, and he goes, and he's like, and they're like, do you have any ideas? And he's like, nope. And then Sipowicz basically is like, well, what's wrong with you? He also says, do you think your brother did it? And he's like, he's an alky and a junkie. I don't think he has enough energy to do this.
I don't know why Sipowicz is getting so, like...
Well...
You don't know the relationship that he has with his mother. Like, what if they're estranged and he has no idea anything that's going on with his mom? You know what I mean? Like...
But, I think he would expect to have some kind of feeling towards what happened. Even if he, like, hates her, he would still be like, wow, okay. Like, he would still have a reaction to it.
I mean, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't, like, I don't hate anyone. Well, I mean, there's some people I dislike, but, like, if they told me they died, I might have I don't know if I'd have a reaction to it. That's true.
I think I wouldn't, if someone died that I barely deal with, like, saying, like, completely estranged from my parent, and they died, I'd be like, wow, okay. But then they show me the pictures, I'd be like, what the fuck? Who did this?
Like, after I learned how they were murdered, I'd probably be like, whoa, this seems, like, real personal.
Then he steps to Sipowicz when Sipowicz asks, what's wrong with you? And he's like, what's wrong with you? So then they step up and they square off, like it's a fucking UFC weigh-in. And
yeah, I loved how Metavoy and like Martinez ran around.
And then Metavoy was like, "Is this your brother? Is this his info?" He's like, "Yeah, yeah, it is." He's like, "Okay, you can go." He's like, "Can I can go?" And he's like, "Yeah, you can go." And Simmons is like, "I want to find evidence so I can pull you out of your business
in front of your customers."
And then he leaves, and Metavoy is like, "Well, he doesn't really care about possibly naming himself." And then Simmons just goes, "He didn't do it." Like, he's like, "I know what's going on. He didn't do it."
Exactly like that, too.
Exactly.
Like,
real creeps.
He didn't do it.
He didn't do it. Russell and Simone. Russell and Simone are in the hospital, and it looks like their next door neighbor died because there's a woman crying, and they shut all the windows.
Don't forget Kirkendall's there too.
She's just chilling there somewhere.
Yeah, not taking care of her kids.
I was going to mention that too in the later scene.
Hey, let's just get to it now. There's a scene later where she's talking on the phone, telling her kids why she can't come home because she has to be there for her friend. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, you know, her friend, you know,
is
can
not
buy her own food and take care of herself, whereas her two kids can't.
What are you talking about? Those kids are ordering pizza, you know?
And isn't there supposed to be a backstory of how, like, her husband's a dick and, like, is never around and not a good father or whatever, her ex-husband?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and then she always talks about how she, you know, has to work, like, doubles and shit because she has to pay for a sitter and stuff. Like, she doesn't have money, but, like, she's going to keep these kids at a sitter the whole time. I don't know. I just found that very funny.
After their next-door neighbor seems like he has, you know, died... and there's a bit of commotion. Simone is like, "What's going on out there?" And she's like, "Nothing, nothing at all." And she like turns up the fucking TV.
She acted like she got caught, right?
She did.
Like she was acting like she got caught doing something, or like, you know, when you're little in TV shows, you see like kids in one room listening to someone argue, and then when the argument's over, they like try to turn the volume up as fast as they can to act like they weren't listening.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
She acts like that. And it's like, nothing happened. Like,
you didn't like, do anything.
You don't have to hide anything. Like,
we are in a
unless
hospital.
Unless she's trying to hide the fact that the guy's crying, or the woman's crying, so she doesn't want Bobby to know that the guy next to him died.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Bobby's going to notice it when he turns to his left and sees that there's nobody next to him anymore. And he's in the critical, like, heart care unit. He's probably going to put two and two together and be like, there was crying. This man's no longer around. Oh, he must have went home. He must be fine.
Yeah, based on his own situation, it's not like, oh, he must have gotten a lollipop and went home. Like,
yeah.
No, it's going to be, well, we're kind of here for the long haul. So, you know.
I kind of feel like the unit that he's in, there's only two ways out. You're either released and you're healthy, or you die.
you ain't getting transferred to a worse unit. This other doctor comes in, Dr. Swan. I thought I recognized him from something. His name's Jack Blessing, and no, I didn't.
He's not a blessing in disguise.
And he comes in, and he's like, "Hey, so we did the biopsy, and it's not really helpful. We just need to change out your heart."
And so, here's the issue I have.
Okay.
Here's the issue I have. Here's
and
the
you're
beginning
clapping.
Of the issues that I have.
And we're clapping.
Here's the beginning. Here's the starting point.
Okay, how about you start it?
We knew that that might be an option. In the last episode, the Dr. Carreras or whatever.
Yeah.
The one that they really like. That was an option that he mentioned to them about. Like, he told them, like, look, you may have to do a biopsy. We're going to have to do a biopsy, but no matter what, he needs his heart replaced.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what. Like, that we've known this from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then they even said, like, hopefully we can find out what kind of infection it is so we can treat it, and it'll help him last longer till we can find him a heart. Then this doctor comes in because Dr. Whatever has to go somewhere else. And so this new specialist comes in and tells them that information, and it sets off a whirlwind in Diane's mind of they're not doing anything correctly.
Yeah.
And she starts freaking out. She needs Dr. Carreras back. She needs this. She needs that. My issue is, shut the fuck up. You're a detective. You're not a doctor. Shut the fuck up. this dude specializes in hearts. He came in and told you what needs to be done. Shut the fuck up. Like,
yeah.
You can have questions, you can have concerns, but you have to be ballsy to sit there and then say, like, everything they're doing is wrong, Bobby's dying, I want someone in here who knows what they're doing, when that man's specialty is in hearts.
Yeah,
like, shut the fuck up.
She's,
like, I know your man's dying, and I know you want to do anything to save him, but, like, these dudes are professionals. Like, she gets all butthurt when people question her when she's out on the street and trying to do her job, or look at her any less. So shut the fuck up, and let these doctors do their job. Like, that's what they're here, and that's what they're paid for.
Well, yeah.
All this information he's telling you isn't new. It's something that everyone has warned you about, step by step. As Bobby has deteriorated, what's happening? They've given you all this information. Like, this isn't a shock to you.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really fucking annoying that, like, and it's because of the same shit. Like, it's a pattern in this show the whole time where everyone just thinks they know better than a fucking doctor, and it's really annoying.
Well, and I wanted to mention, because Dr. Swan comes in, right, and I don't want to go through the entire conversation, because you're right, the point is, Diane basically just doesn't like and or trust him, even though he's said all the same things Dr. Carrera has said.
Yeah.
He comes in and he says, biopsy, it's not very helpful, because regardless of the infection, we need to switch out his heart. And she goes,
yeah.
What about the pump? And he's like, well, we can put in the pump, but that's really not going to help the problem. We need to change the heart. And she's like, ugh, well, where's Dr. Carreras? And he's like, bitch, I'm telling you what the fuck's going on. Like, what do you want? What else do you want from me?
She has a problem with the way he says,
As well as could be expected.
If we put the balloon in there, it'll just end up tearing him up.
Oh, choose
or
up.
Or he says something along those lines, and she freaks out. And she's like, oh, tear him up inside, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, like, you, like, and in a very, like, doctory way, he's kind of like, yeah, we talked about this. You can't keep the pump in there for a long period of time. It's not the end all. It's not the be all end all. It's not the ending that we want. It's just a stopgap. You know this. We've told you that this stuff is a stopgap. Like, we've told you that the end all be all needs to be a heart transplant. Why is all of this new to you? Why are you freaking out like all this new information when it's not new fucking information?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
we've straight up told you that this is these are the steps that need to happen, no matter what. But here are these small things in between that, if they do happen, can extend our steps a little longer and give Bobby a chance to live. And then it's like they come with her all that information, and she's just like doesn't want to hear it and starts freaking out. And it's like, well, then you know what? Later, like, go get Dr. Carreras. Like, good luck. Watch this motherfucker die. Bye. Like, that's how I would be as a doctor. Like, if you don't want to listen, don't listen. But I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to sit here, take your shit, and then have to be like, okay, cool. Like, yeah, yeah, now I'm going to help you. No. If you think you know better, take care of it on your own. Peace out.
I did want to mention that in his conversation, he mentions, he's like, hey, plus size, you're number 3 on the list, to which Bobby works out, oh, so the dude next to me died.
Yeah, like, in the end, it comes out that Bobby knows he's dead anyways, because, like, it's this false, like, happiness, you know?
That's when Diane brings up, like, okay, well, what about Dr. Carreras? And the doctor even says, like, are you unhappy with my medical services? And she's like, no, we just liked him. And even Simone, who can barely breathe, is like, he got transferred to Bellevue.
Yeah.
Like, and he isn't surgical staff.
Like, how does the man who's, like, slipping in and out of a coma have more information about what's going on than the bitch who's sitting next to him who is, like, alive and well?
I will say, like, I want to say one thing. In her defense, the situation she's put in is creating kind of a psychological break. I think that's the point of this whole thing, is she's being told, just sit there and wait as he's dying, which is hard for her to deal with. But I do agree that she's taking it the wrong way, which is, you know who has the answer? This one doctor who I like, because he said that he was related to a cop and he likes cops. Like, that's not the way you should be acting. Like, you, and everyone's telling her to be strong, and her idea of being strong is just leaning on this one specific doctor, which is not how you do it.
I was watching West Wing recently, right, and it it's a different type of show, right? But there's a spot in it where the president, I think, is played by Sheen. He's something with him. He's sick, and his wife, who is a doctor, she's the first lady. She's a doctor. They basically tell her, like, you know, we're dealing with it, blah blah blah. But then she's like, goes in there and she starts speaking to them in a way that they can understand, so she can get info because she's a doctor. She can help, blah blah blah. I had no problem with that, because her profession is being a doctor. You know, she knows a little bit about this field and can, like, stay in a room and, like, hang in there, if not be, like, one of the, like, people leading the conversation because she's super smart. There are also scenes in that show when, like, she's a part of something, like, when it comes to, like, defense or something, and she tries to speak up, and then she recognizes, like, oh, shit, I don't know anything, so I need to let, like, people who know what they're doing do it. Like, people who know what they're doing, they are going to take care of the situation. I can step aside. Diane never once thinks about that. Like, Diane never once thinks, like, I have no medical background. I have no wherewithal about what's going on at all with him. For fuck's sake, when the doctor's explaining to me what's going on, I can barely understand it without having, like, a child-like breakdown because I feel like he's speaking down. Like, I have to have him speak down to me. The problem I have is just, like, shut up. Like, stop talking for a second. Like, your biggest issue is that you won't shut up. Is that you keep thinking too much and you think you have the answer. Just because their answers aren't working out the way you want them doesn't mean they're doing the right things. You need to tell your friend, Jill Kirkendall, to go the fuck away because she's not helping you. She's only making it worse because she's sitting there, like, feeding into your delusions and your craziness of you feeling like he's not being taken care of. So, like, you need, like, the best thing for her would be to her not to be at the hospital. Like, the best thing would be to, like, find Bobby's family, let, like, one of his family members sit there, and call her and give her a heads up. Because she's not helping the situation, and it's fucking annoying.
I mean, I agree. After the doctor leaves, she starts asking Bobby, like, should I call the squad? Or will that get their hopes up? And it's like, this motherfucker's dying. He doesn't give a shit. You have to be the person that makes the decision, what you're going to be doing right now. Like, leave him alone. He's trying to breathe.
Yeah.
Like, leave him alone.
Like, she's so worried about how he's doing and how he's feeling and all this, which, like, is great. But then at the same time, like, she asks him, like, asinine questions when that dude should be focusing on living. And she was like, should I call the squad? Are you comfortable? Does this feel good? What about the Jell-O? What about this? It's like, you, leave him alone. Like, shut up. Like, let him concentrate. I'm trying to stay alive. Like, I feel like he would let you know if something wasn't going right.
Yeah, he'd be the first to tell,
like,
you.
Yeah, he would be the first to tell you, sitting there hooked up to all this stuff, if something wasn't going right. Like, this is so annoying.
The next scene... Martinez comes back to a car where they're waiting outside for Stanley Struhl, and Medavoy mentions, like, I bet this killer beats the death penalty and his heart works until he's 90, and then Sibowitz is like, shut the fuck up! Like, Sibowitz was like, one step away from him, shut the fuck up, Medavoy, shut the fuck up! Like, he was so, like, just stop talking. He's like, I just meant in general, not related to Bobby, even though he mentions heart, and Bobby's heart is failing, and he's like, it doesn't matter if it's general or specific. Don't mention hearts. It's just like...
Yeah. There was a weird conversation. Don't mention hearts. What?
No heart talk. Hey, guys, no more heart talk. We can talk about any other organ. We can talk about anything else. No hearts. And we can't even talk about the band Heart. If Barracuda comes on this radio station...
I'm pissed.
They see the guy, Stanley Struhl, who's played by Mark Pellegrino... who was on Lost as Jacob. He was in No Holds Bar, the cinematic classic.
He was also a recurring character on NYPD Blue.
And Supernatural. And he was in the movie The Big Lebowski. The dude's been in a bunch of shit.
He pees on the rug, right?
No, Woo pees on the rug. He's the one that puts...
Woo pees on
the... He's the one that...
Yeah, he drops the bowling ball, right?
He drops the bowling ball and he puts the dude's head in the...
The toilet.
And he's the one that says, you're not dealing with morons here.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Fuck, the movie's great. They go to pick him up, and Sipwood says, there better be no needles, or I'll snap your neck. Nice threat. His breath is boozy, and he has several Garth Brooks CDs, and it's all the same CDs. And he goes, "Did I do that?" Doing his a classic Urkel.
Shout out to Family Matters.
Martinez brings him from the bathroom where he's clearly been throwing up, and he says, "It's bad when there's blood in it." And Martinez is like, "Why don't you eat something?" And he said, "Well, when I do dope and drink, I don't eat."
As one does.
You know, when you're doing that dope and doing and drinking, you don't eat.
When I do dope and drink, I don't eat, so.
They,
It's a thing in the dope and drinking community.
We got a Reddit.
It's called Wall Street Beats or something.
Bets. Wall Street Beats is a different thing altogether.
We single-handedly went after GameStop while drunk and on dope. And not eating lunch.
They let him know his mom is dead, and he kind of freaks out a little bit. And he's like, "What? She's dead?" He gags at the photos, and Sipowicz says, "If you throw up in here, I'm going to knock out every last tooth you have left."
Foreshadowing.
Big ol' foreshadowing. Stanley calls his mom a rotten bitch, and that she only loved that TV evangelist, Benny Hinn, I think.
Yeah, I know Benny Hinn. He's my favorite. He's my favorite one. He's the guy that hits people with his jacket and knocks them down.
With
the spirit of the Lord.
He does like that Super Saiyan shit.
Yeah, he's the one that they made
internet video.
The early infancies of memes, and someone made it with the Street Fighter.
Ah, yes.
Every time he would hit someone, it would be like, ksh, ksh, ksh. And then when he would like do his Super Saiyan shit, it would be the Hadouken sound. I remember being at APU when that came out and showing everyone I worked with and like laughing my ass off at it. And they didn't. And they, I don't think they understood why I found it funny.
Yeah, they have no sense of humor about that type of shit. They ask Stanley if he blacks out, and he goes, "No, even if I did, I couldn't do this." And he's like, "Well, did your brother do this?" And then he throws up on Sipowicz, a little bloody throw-up.
Like, right, yeah, like, it's like the grossest throw-up I've ever seen.
Sipowicz calls him a dirty bastard and then runs out of the room, and you can overhear Medavoy say, "He didn't fracture your skull, makes you the luckiest drunk in America." And he goes to the bathroom, he starts washing his shirt and washing his face and body, and Martinez comes in to check on him, and he's like, "Could you please leave?" He doesn't even say, "Could you please?" He's like, "Could you leave me alone, Martinez? Could you leave me alone?" And then when he's looking in the mirror, he starts crying and says, "Please don't let him die." Simone dreams of Patsy on the roof, and it's very weird, because it's seeming like Patsy's taking care of his birds while he's away. In heaven, I guess?
I took that scene as, like, Patsy telling him, like, to basically come home.
I'm here
watching your birds in heaven, and blah, 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 but I think it's time for you to come take care of them yourself.
I thought the whole point of the meeting, because he mentions, like, this weird, look, like, you take care of birds for a time, and then you don't take care of birds for a time. And I think the whole point was, like, you get a certain amount of time for some of the people that you're with and some of the things that you do, and then you stop doing those things. It's just the way life works. And then Simone was kind of saying, like, okay, but can I come back here after I get done with the other things I need to do? Which is, like, Russell. I thought it was him saying, like, I'll be back later to talk to you about this bird thing. But you kind of took the opposite, like, hey, you need to end those things and come back.
Oh, I took it as Patsy was telling him, like, look, you had these birds, and then, you know, you got your life as a detective, and you got your first wife, and then, you know, that went bad, and you came back to your birds, and then you left your birds again, and then you found Diane, and you've been putting all that into there, and he's like, and since, you know, you've been gone, I've been taking care of these birds, but you know what, I think it's time to come back to the birds, and I think, it's just time to leave everything behind, kind of. That's the way I took it.
After that dream, we cut back to the hospital, and that's where Jill is telling her kids, like, I can't come by, I'm staying with my friend. Russell comes to Jill to be like, I don't really like this waiting, I don't like our doctor because he talks down to us.
Yeah, I don't like how he talks down to us by just giving us facts we already knew about.
Then she goes to send Jill home, and then she sees Dr. Carreras come in. And she's like, I want to say what she said. She said, thank God, here's Dr. Caress. Like, God sent him. Then she's like, could you go look at him? Could you go look at him? And she's like, yeah, that's why I came by. He's like, oh, okay, cool. So you're going to go look at him? He's like, yeah, I'm going to go look at him. So then he goes in to look over Bobby. And then Jill's like, are you sure you want me to leave? And she's like, yeah, I was afraid he was dying, but I think he's going to get better now. And then Jill kind of, like, breaks down as she leaves. And it's like, Russell's fucking losing it. Like, she's straight up losing it. Like, why in the world would you think suddenly Bobby's going to get better now because this doctor showed up as opposed to the other one?
This doctor who has, like, no specialty in hearts or this field, who doesn't know, like, the little nuances and shit of what to do in certain situations when it comes to, like, heart disease and infection, but now he's going to live.
Well, he did, because he did do his biopsy and his check, but the thing is, they even talk about it because there is this very weird scene where he's checking on Bobby, and Bobby's making jokes and trying to stay positive, but he can clearly barely breathe, and Russell comes in to talk to him a little bit more, and Carreras gives her the look like, hey, let's talk about this outside. So they leave him for a second, and the doctor's like, yeah, so he's going to get better, they just need to do the pump. And then Russell's like, but the other doctor said no! And he's like, yeah, well, we really need a new heart, that's the real thing, so if we can get that, we'll be fine. And he's like, do you not like Dr. Swan? He is like a top surgeon. She's just freaking out, he's like, I'm praying for you, and she said, no, you're an answered prayer. He's like, okay, well, talk to you later, I gotta go, because this isn't my job, I'm here on my own time, and you're clearly freaking out. And he says, you gotta hold on. And when she goes back in with Bobby, she turns the TV on after his insistence to turn the TV on. But yeah, she's clearly losing it. That's all I took from that. It's like, wow, she's losing it. When we get to the next scene, Medavoy and Martinez are watching Fancy and Sipowicz, mostly seeing if Fancy's getting calls about hearts, because they're on Heart Watch. And Sipowicz is on the phone telling the other brother, Arthur, that he's not going to tell them what they know about his brother Stanley, because you get what you give. And it eventually leads to Sipowicz basically saying, you can kiss my ass. And Fancy comes in towards the end of that conversation. He's like, yeah, I'm just trying to get that guy to come in and piss him off. And then Fancy is like, okay, you're going to go in on that scale, brother? And Sipowicz is like, yeah, you missing a bus? Like, just out of nowhere. Like, just completely, like, it was my favorite, because even Medavoy and Martinez kind of go like, whoa, okay, and insulting the boss for no reason. I think we got to step in here. Like, oh, it was just so funny. What, you gotta catch the train? They walk in with Stanley, and Stanley feels bad for puking on Sipowicz, and he's like, don't talk about that. So we're not talking about vomit, and we're not talking about hearts. Update your list. We're not talking about...
Vomit or hearts?
Sipowicz then's like, I don't think you killed your mother, but did you tell somebody while you were drunk and rambling about her place and how she has a bunch of cool stuff to rob? And he goes, no, I don't even know where she lives. She hid where she moved from me. And then Dolores comes in to let him know that the other brother has arrived, and the brothers start talking to each other, yelling at each other. He's like, I didn't do this. And he's like, you sit there, and Sipowicz goes to talk to him. The question I had after that is, how does he not know that she moved when his mail got forwarded there?
Oh, good point.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it works to where she could just set it up and not tell him. But it said that there was mail there. I don't know if it's for the other brother, but I thought it was for Stanley.
Yeah, because then you find out that the other brother paid to move her somewhere.
And we know that Stanley supposedly wrote down that address, or somebody wrote that address for Stanley's bail information. So did his mom bail him out? Like, what's the deal there?
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe the mom, even though she was moved to protect her against him, still talked to him? I don't know.
Anyway, Arthur, the older...
And maybe he was just drunk and on drugs and doesn't know or remember, you know? I don't know.
I mean, it's a big question, but we don't know. Arnold, the other brother, comes into the squad, and he's asking, are you framing my brother? And he goes, no. He's like, well, he keeps saying he hasn't done it yet, so he must not have gotten out the brass knuckles. And Sipowicz is like, yeah, we're going to go get that, the thumb screws, and then we're going to put him on the rack. And then the guy's like, are you stupid, or do you just not want to do your job right? And then Sifowitz says, "I don't know why you want to fight me, but I guarantee you you'll be sorry." And Arnold just sucker punches him in the face. Well, not sucker punches him, but punches him in the face. The uniform officers see it from across the hall and start rolling up like they're going to beat his ass. And Sifowitz waves them off and hands them his gun and throws them into a room alone and starts grilling him about the attack on his mom. Saying like, "Hey, you got a half-decent punch. If you went up against a 75-year-old woman, I bet you could win. But I don't know why
He starts baiting him.
He's like, "I don't know why you had to use the tools, though. That was something else." Then the guy comes out.
He tries, real quick, he tries baiting him early because there's a scene where he's on the phone and he calls him and he starts, like, yelling at him and giving him a hard time and talking a lot of shit. And then Fancy's kind of looking at him like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Trying to rile him up so he'll come back in."
Yeah, yeah.
And so the guy comes back in already fired up, so.
Then he tries to make for Sifowitz, and Sifowitz hits him right in the stomach, and he can't breathe. And he's like, "We can do that again. You can catch your breath, and you can see how this old fat man can beat your balls off." Medevoy interrupts and says he has important information. He opens the door, and he's like, "Simone?" And he goes, "No." So he starts to close the door. Sifowitz is like, "Oh, it's not Simone?" Starts to close the door. He's like, "No, it's the DOA. And then Dolores lets him know that she was shot with a 25, and Arnold has a 25 registered in his name, and we found that out 45 minutes ago. And then she gives a sorry, and then the one person Sifowitz is cool to today, the one person is Dolores.
Yeah, that was very weird.
Who he says, "That's alright, everybody's under a lot of pressure."
If there's anyone who, like, didn't do their job, it was her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he's getting upset with people for, like, doing their job, like, doing the most of their job, like, he's getting frustrated and shit. Like, he gets mad at Fancy, because he doesn't think Fancy's, like, pushing hard enough for Bobby, about all this stuff. But, like, Dolores legitimately slows down an investigation, makes it difficult, could have caused Andy not to get punched in the face. Andy's still, like, just like, "It's okay. It's all good."
Yeah, it was completely surprising that he's been yelling at his own boss, but then he's like, "Dolores knew about this very important information 45 minutes ago, before he started punching this dude. And, you know what, we've been under a lot of pressure."
Yeah, sorry.
Then Medevoy's like, you said it right. Good words, Andy. He's like, "Also, you gonna go in with the gun angle?" And then they both see Jill. And he's like, "Oh, she's back from the hospital. You go find out, Medevoy." And then she, like, kind of starts crying in front of Fancy, and he doesn't look good. And then he goes back into the guy, and he goes, "You can pin it on me." He's like, "I don't think you did this, but I think you know what's up. So what's happening?" And he says, "She shot herself." He's like, "She cut off her hands and feet, too?" He's like, "No, I cut off her hands and feet and beat her head in. She did it because she didn't want us to get insurance. She would call me drunk every day and tell me she was going to wait till I was walking up the street and then shoot herself in the head with the gun I gave her to protect herself." And he starts having a straight-up mental breakdown on the floor. And Sifowitz is like, Sifowitz is having a breakdown of his own. And then he goes, "Arthur, pull yourself together." And then he leaves the room, which is like, "What? You kind of did this, man."
Yeah. You don't want to, like, unwrap this present, bro.
Because the guy even says, like, "You can beat me. I've been beat by worse. I've been beat before." And it's like, yeah, Sifowitz, you kind of did this, dog. Like, you did this, and now you're walking out. Sifowitz walks out slowly, goes to Dolores, and he's like, "Did he pass?" And she's like, "No, his heart's failing." And Sifowitz is like, "Well, why don't they do something?" And then he runs into Fancy's office, like, "What are we going to do?" And he's like, "I got nothing, Andy." So then Andy storms out and goes back into Arthur, who tries to hang himself.
No, he hasn't tried. He's hung himself.
Okay, well, he's just not... He's trying to kill himself. He's currently hanging. And Sifowitz closes the door like he's going to wait it out, which is dark. That's pretty fucking dark.
A little bit.
Medevoy comes up and starts Medevoying it up. And he's like, "Hey, so what'd you get out of this guy?" And he's like, "I don't know, Medevoy." And he's like, "You going to go at him with the gun angle? Also, are we going to charge the other dude?" And he's like, "I don't know, Medevoy. I don't know." And then he's like, "Oh, man, you gonna let him take it out on the furniture?" Because the dude is dangling and hitting the furniture in the room. And with that, Andy's like, "Ah, damn it." And he opens the door, and him and Medevoy hold up the dude and get the... I think he did it with his tie. Gets the tie off his neck. And they start giving him CPR. or just chest compressions of CPR, and the guy comes around, and Sipwitz is like, oh, I could have helped him. And Medavoy is like, what are you talking about? He's coming around. He's like, no, I could have helped Simone. We could have given him this guy's heart, which is like, oh, that's not something you say out loud to a dude. Like,
right?
Because if that dude was conscious, he's like, what the fuck? You? I know I wanted to kill myself, but you were willing to let that happen?
I mean, no offense, that dude can't really say anything.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, the guy's goal was to die, and like, if anything, he should be mad that Andy stopped him. Like, it's not your right to choose to stop me from killing myself.
Paramedics are coming in to take Arnold away. Martinez and Medavoy are like, this prick. And Medavoy's like, I'm surprised Andy helped him, even though it was the right thing to do. And I'm just like, what the fuck? What? That's not cool. That's not okay to just be like, yeah.
Like, I know you want, like, your friend to live, but this is not the way to go about it.
And Andy's just, like, sitting there fiddling. He's fiddling with stuff and, like, clearly all types of fucked up. He's had a very strange, horrible day and a weird, weird quandary. Dolores gets a call and heads it over to Fancy, and everyone gets super peaked. Interest is peaked. And Dolores sends it to Fancy, and they're like, what's up? He's like, there's a cop shot in Midtown, shot in the head. And Sipwitz is like, grazing shot?
Basically, that's Sipwitz's way of saying, like, is he dead?
Then Sipowicz, Medavoy, and Martinez go into Fancy's office. He's still on the phone. And Fancy gets off the phone and he goes, headshot. Not grazing, and they're not asking for blood. And he's like, I'm going to Bellevue. And he gets up and runs out. He's like, I gotta go get me a heart. And then for some reason, Medavoy just repeats it. He's like, headshot. Not grazing. Not asking for blood.
Yeah.
And then Martinez is like, that doesn't sound good. And then Medavoy is just like, God's will be done. Even if that means leaving my wife and children for some hot ass who then leaves me.
Then I never talk to my children again. God, it's God's will, though. It's what God wanted. God wanted me to get a new piece of ass and ignore my children.
And then they see the guy going down the stairs again. He's like, alive and well, breathing comfortably, while Sipwitz takes care of the fish. I'm going to skip to the end. Fuck, there's not enough time. I want to talk about this scene so much. We're going to skip a scene that I want to talk about the most and go right to the end. I want to talk about the scene where Fancy convinces a woman to give him her husband's heart. But the point of it is, he gets her to do it. So when we cut back to the house after that conversation, Medavoy is on the phone and he's stoked, telling everybody, hey, it looks like they're going to take this guy's heart. They're going to give it to Simone at the other place. A funny thing is, Sipwitz on the phone is like, tell Fancy good job. I know I break his balls. It's like, yeah, you fucking shit on your boss all the time. It's surprising you have a job.
Yeah, and you've been shitting on him all day today, and he's been doing nothing but trying to keep his best detective alive.
And Medavoy's like, it's a uniformed cop named Gillum. Doesn't say his first name. 6 years on the job. Martinez is like, were they all in Midtown? He's like, oh, I don't know. And then, and then Sipwitz is like, do they know who did it yet? And he goes, I don't know. So then Sipwitz is like, I'll call. And I was like, is he going to use his superhuman detective skills? He's like, I'm going to go find these guys then. I'm going to go get them if they don't know who did it. Like, it's like, I'm going to get on the case. If we're getting this guy's heart.
That would have been a great, like, follow-up episode.
If Sipwitz goes to Midtown.
Sipwitz is going on a vigilante mission to catch the guy whose heart he got for his friend.
So, the end of the episode, Dr. Swan comes in and says, hey, guess what? You jumped up to number one, got a direct donation from a cop. Russell says to Fancy, he's like, Russell says to Simone, he's like, did you hear that? He's like, sounds like we're going into action. And the doctor tells him, okay, we're going to prep the room, we're going to give you something to go to sleep, and then we're going to get the heart, and we're going to go to town. And Simone, because he's smooth as butter, man, he goes, do you mind giving me that medicine when we get down there? And he goes, yeah, that shouldn't be a problem. He's like, I want to keep my eyes open so I can see my girl. Smooth to the end. And then, I just wanted to mention this before going back to that scene that I want to talk about it for like 8 hours. But a dude comes in and brings in a comically large canister of what I believe is nitrous oxide or whatever is going to make him go to sleep. I noticed it the second time I watched it. He brought in a giant can of whatever's going to make him go to sleep. Like he was going to a Fish concert or something. He's like, I got it. I was just like, okay, bro. He's going to be asleep for a while.
Yeah.
I just loved it. Okay, so the scene, and that's the end of the episode, but the scene I wanted to talk about, Fancy has to go to this woman and convince her to give up her husband's heart, right?
Yeah. And basically, it's, like, forcing this woman to accept that her husband's dead, like, right now.
It's a scene that should take a while.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of drama, in terms of, like, reality, it shouldn't take less than 3 minutes to convince this woman to give you her heart, to give you the heart of, like, her husband.
Like, the conversation that her and Fancy have should have taken place at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
And then, throughout the episode, you have multiple characters, or, like, Fancy talking to her multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, what pushes it over the edge is, like, somehow Diane talks to her.
Yeah, something like that.
And, like, that's how that should have worked out.
Because Fancy rolls up, there's a bunch of, like high uniform officers, guys in full gear. Like, guys, old white guys that aren't on the streets anymore, but they wear the full uniform to go talk to wives. Bunch of those guys there. And then there's clearly a woman who's, like, the organ transfer lady. She's got the paperwork, and she's gonna do it. Fancy talks to all of them outside, and then they all point him to this woman, Miss Gilliam, and he rolls in, and he's like, "Hi, Miss Gilliam. I'm Art Fancy. I'm on the job." And she's like, "Did you know my husband?" Roadblock. No, I didn't. I know about him though. I know that he's dying, which is why I'm here. He's like, I'm sorry about your husband. And she's like, yeah, he was shopping with me. He was trying to stop a robbery. I had to tell my mom. She's wheelchair bound in Massapequa. And he's like, yeah, that's cool. So I'm with the 15th squad, all right? And we got an officer down with heart disease, and he needs your husband's heart. And she goes, yeah, that's Timmy's decision. Don't call an adult Timmy.
Yeah. He's a grown up now. Well, not anymore. He's a goner, but...
And then...
He was a grown-up.
And he's like, I just love it. She's like, hey, here's a little bit about my life. You know, my life's crumbling. He's like, yeah, with the 15th, got a detective with heart disease. He needs his heart. And he goes, and she says, that's his decision. He's like, yeah, did you ever talk about organ donation? Did he seem against it? Was he like, nah? And she's like, I can't decide for him. And it's like, yeah, you can legally, though. Like, if anyone's gonna do it, it'd be you.
It's gonna be you. So, like, do it.
And then she's like, they keep saying he has no pain. How would they know? And Fancy is just short of going, he got shot in the head.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter. Like, we'll never know if he feels pain. We can't do anything about it right now. He's like, as far as I understand, he's not getting any brain function, so he doesn't even know if he's in pain.
Yeah, he's like, he has gone as far as he can without basically saying, like,
bitch, give me the heart. Bitch, give me the heart. Just give me the heart. Have, like, you met
just
Simone?
Give me the heart.
And then,
like, my detective, your husband is not even, like, a third of the man that this detective is. Like, sorry. But your boy's gotta go.
And she's like, well, how is this different from a coma? And he's like, it seems pretty different. Just seems a little different. Most people in comas don't...
This is how it's different. He ain't getting out.
Here's how it's different. Most people in comas don't have bullets in their brains. So, it's a little different. And I know how harsh this is, but it's like, this scene should not have been, like, less than 3 minutes long. It makes no
sense.
Well,
the scene, it's very, like, this is a very, like, big decision, and they make a very, it's, like, very flippant attempt at, like, her, like, choice through it.
And then he's like, you know what, I think Tim would have liked Bobby. And she goes, Timmy has 4 commendations already. And I, at that point, I wanted Fancy to, like, okay, well, let me pull out his detective dick, if we're gonna throw out commendations. Also,
it'd be great if he pulled out, like, a scroll with all of Bobby's, like,
commendations.
All of Bobby's accommodations on there.
And then, oh my god, even more hilarious to me. Then Fancy says, he's also a newlywed. And then she's like, And then he just straight up, like, holds her hand. He's like, you can make this happen. You have to make the decision.
Yeah.
And she says, can I at least sit with him a little while? And he's like, I think they can do that. And then she starts to cry. And then Fancy gives the okay. Fancy is the one that says, Fancy, like, he might as well have been at a restaurant. He's like, okay, bring out the heart now. We good.
Yeah, he basically is like, she, I got a verbal, kind of, right? That's a verbal confirmation. I mean, it's my word against hers.
And what's great is she literally goes, can I sit with him? And he's like, I'm pretty sure they could do that. And he's like, okay. And then he might as well have been like, okay, take him up. And he's like, she isn't sitting with him. Like, you didn't ask him. You didn't even ask him.
Oh, I loved it. You wanted to sit with him now? I was going to sit with him after we cut him open and, you know, ended his life. You could sit with his corpse.
Oh my god, the scene was so fucking funny to me. I think I watched it like 3 times. Because, like, it's something so hilarious about a guy being like, hey, so, your husband's dead. Yeah, I mean, I can't believe it, you know? We were shopping, and, he tried to stop a robbery, and the next thing you know, he's on the ground, and I can't believe it. I gotta talk to my mother now. I mean, I don't know how I'm gonna pay her bills. She's, you know, she's confined to a wheelchair. She's like, that's great. So Bobby Simone's a real good guy.
Yeah, it's like not only did she watch her husband get shot, she's now having to like figure out like whether or not she wants to kill him now or wait a little bit and let him die on his own.
And, God, it made me laugh because it was also like Fancy basically all day was heart hunting, right? And it's also, the thing I didn't even bring up is, he mentions it in front of a huge crowd of police officers. You know? Hey man, we need a heart for one of our guys. His heart's failing. And then the second a police officer gets shot in the head, he's down there, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I wonder, does that mean that there's, like, all these cops are, like, looking for a situation all day? Like
probably not as intently as he is.
because is there a moment where there's two uniform officers like in the 15th and they're like, oh, this situation's really dangerous. Hey Johnson, nobody liked Johnson, right? Everybody hates Johnson. Hey Johnson, you got point. You going in?
Like, no, like we were talking about earlier. I don't think they were trying to set up like
people to go.
I don't think they were trying to set up their own people, like cops. But I don't think that they were too worried about, you know, some perps out in the street if they were getting a little mouthy.
Oh, man. I just love that scene so much. Because she opens up to Fancy. She straight up opens up. And Fancy's like, we're kind of on a timetable here. The scene's not very long. And we got great.
It's like, it's great that you're feeling all these, like, emotions and shit, but I gotta go. Like, we gotta hurry it up here.
We gotta get this heart out of your husband, like, real fast. Oh, man. Anything else about this episode before we wrap it up?
No, not really. Not that I have.
Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AstroBrothersPodcast.com, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Spotify, where you find a podcast. We're on Instagram at Asher Brothers Podcast, on Twitter at Asher Bros Pod, and the episodes are still coming out every other Tuesday. So have a good one, and wear a mask and get vaccinated if you can. Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. If you have a moment, please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're using to listen to the show. It's how people see it in the algorithms and hopefully end up watching the best show ever, NYPD Blue. If you need more NYPD Blue info in your life, there's a couple of books out there. True Blue, written about the first couple seasons by creators and consultants. What Would Sipowicz Do? A collection of articles about the show. And Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue on Amazon for 99 cents. Anyways, there's going to be a couple clips at the end of this episode because they contain spoilers. If you've already seen the show, seen this season, if you know what's happening, if you know what's coming up, then the next clips don't matter to you. But I wanted to separate them so we don't spoil anything for people who might be going through the show for the first time. Also, want to put a quick disclaimer. Everything is for humor. Whether you are offended or not about the talk about cops, the talk about guns, organ donation, everything is just for the purposes of humor. We're not trying to offend anybody. Hope you have a good one. Peace.
It's time to come back to the birds, and I think it's just time to leave everything behind. Kind of. That's the way I took it. especially knowing, like spoiler alert, knowing what we know, like, that's the way I kind of took it. It's the same conversation. It's the same thing I took from the conversation with her and Bobby in the shower in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Bobby wouldn't let her get in the shower. I took that as, like, it was her brain and kind of subconsciously maybe him, like, them having their, like, own little, like, couple conversation in a dream, basically saying, like, hey, like, I'm doing as best as I can be, but, like, I think it's time that you're just going to have to take care of yourself and, like, just do it on your own. That's the way I took it all.
Yeah, I mean, these weird dream sequences, I also think that they're trying to play on the idea that he might get better because, you know, we didn't know. Like, people didn't know as it was happening what was going to happen. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think it could be interpreted either way. But the point is, after that dream, we cut back to the hospital. Now, the thing I wanted to say is, if Dr. Carreras is running a Dennis Reynolds-type game on her, he's got her hooked. The dude is basically Jesus Christ in her eyes, who can save all the little children. And he didn't do anything. He hasn't done anything. He came in and said the same shit he said at the beginning of meeting them. And she's like, well, you're nicer than that other mean white man. So, it's unbelievable. Like, when she was like, I was afraid he was going to die, but I think he's going to be better now. I was like, bitch, you're hooked into this dude. So hard.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
It's so wrong.
That would have been a great, like, follow-up episode.
If Sipowicz, like, goes to Midtown.
Sipowicz is going on a vigilante mission to catch the guy's heart he got for his friend. Cut this part out. You'll have to cut this part out. If Bobby would have survived, that definitely would have been
an episode.
A next episode. It would have been, like, episode, like, 16 of the season, where there would have been, like, another cop shot or something, and then Sipowicz and Simone would have been like, this is very similar to how I got my heart. The guy who gave me his heart, blah blah blah, and they would have, like, caught the guy or something, you know? Like, that would have been an episode if he survives.
We got one episode left in the current story we're doing, and the next episode is it's coming. Season 6, episode 5. People who know. It's gonna be interesting.